it's because of Christ that we do this, they do what they're doing, and we each have a role to play for him. So I'll show you what they're doing in Papua New Guinea and a little bit about what we did on our trip to go over there. Melissa would have loved to be here too, but she is driving a bunch of youth back from Creation Festival, so she's probably pretty wore out right now, and hopefully we'll sleep the rest of the afternoon, I think. So this picture shows you what the landscape looks like in the part of Papua New Guinea where Will and Kelly Tallman live. It's very mountainous. It looks like the Rocky Mountains, except it's green, and pretty neat area. You see a traditional grass house there in the foreground, and that's what the native people live in. And just some of the scenery from the area. The mountains are very rugged, very steep, and yet there's people all over these mountains. There's houses all over the side hills, and it's amazing to me just how many people were there. When we'd go through, you'd see a piece of woods, and you'd think, oh, there's no one going to be here, and there'd be people stepping out of the woods, and just people everywhere. And most of them have never heard the gospel. It's a very dark place because it's amazing to me seeing the difference between how people act in a place where it's not part of the culture, where it's not centered on the gospel, versus a country like this, which was founded pretty much on the good news of Christ. So huge difference in how people act, how they treat each other. Makes it very dangerous sometimes. This is a view of Will and Kelly's village. All those white dots down in the valley there are their village. They're at about 6,000 feet above sea level, and they're only about 100 miles from the sea, so it's really coming up steeply there. And the view is looking down the valley towards the next biggest village. That village is on the Highland Highway, which is been reported as the most dangerous road in the world, both because of landslides and steepness and no guardrails, but also because of thieves and robbers who will hold you up and take your stuff. So it's a tough place, but a very beautiful place. And this is Will and Kelly, a recent photo from our trip this time. That's most of their family. Zach is the tall one beside Will, and then Bradley and Kate are the two smaller children. And the one who's not pictured there is Kayla, who is in the United States. She turned 18 and went to college, so she's not with them right now. And Zach will be graduating from high school next year, but that's an up-to-date picture of them from our recent trip. So what are Will and Kelly doing over there? They're basically translating the Bible into the language of the people. And they're planning to plant a functioning church in their tribe where they're living. Their tribe has about 90,000 people spread out up and down a big valley, and that's maybe 20 miles long. So you got 90,000 people living in those rugged mountains in a relatively small area. And that's the people. They have their own distinct language. It's unlike any other. And so their job is to translate the Bible into that language. First, they had to learn to know the people and the culture. And then they had to learn the language, which was unwritten. It was just a spoken language. They had to figure out how to write it so that people could read it. And then they had to teach people how to read it. And then the big job of translating the Bible. So as throughout that process, as they meet people, they learn the language, they get to know them, they spend a lot of time teaching the people, and they once they have a good command of the language and some of the scriptures are translated, then they begin teaching the people the story of Jesus from creation to Christ, basically showing how God had the world set up to point people towards their need for a Savior and the different types of sacrifices and the laws and how None of them could help people reach God, and they really needed Christ. And that's the process they go through with the people. And now they're three-quarters of the way through the Bible. They're teaching people. They have about 120 believers in their tribe, and they are training those people to teach others. So they're making disciples. I'll show you just a few pictures of the people. This is a view inside their church that they built there. And you sit basically on a board on the ground instead of on a very nice, comfortable pew like we have here. These are some of the people that we got to know when we were over there. And they're beautiful people. They're friendly. But they desperately need Christ. And this is a picture of Melissa in their market negotiating to buy some food. That's how they get their food, other than growing it. Buying some corn or something. Probably bananas. I like bananas. What we do when we've visited over there, we've spent time with Will and Kelly, which is really needed after being over there for many years on end. They get almost no visitors, so just the support of friendship is a huge thing for them. And so we hiked together and we traveled together. We helped them with some of their vehicle needs. Their roads are terrible, very muddy, very rugged. And so we took money over from donations that people had given and parts for their vehicles, which are very difficult to get over there. We also took some tools that Will needed and helped them buy materials to do some building projects. This is an addition to their house that needed to be done so they'd have a place to meet with the believers. So we worked with them on that. We helped do a lot of the building and kind of tore out some walls and put up the floor joists here for their addition. There's raising the wall. And that's what the project looked like on the outside when we left, that addition on the left-hand side of the house there with a garage underneath it. And we also had to make a stairs to get up to it from downstairs because they didn't want people coming through their main living space. So we built this spiral staircase up through the house, and this is the space that they ended up with to meet with believers and do discipleship and that was the use of this room. So some things about missionaries and how can we support them. Obviously, financial support is a big thing when you're in a foreign place and it's very expensive to travel back and forth. The cost of everything is extremely expensive over there. But they're doing what needs to be done and what we've been commanded to do. We found bigger than financial support for the missionaries that we've come to know is friendship, spending time, getting to know them, communicating with them. Most of them have some access to email, so you can do that. And then, of course, the biggest is talking to God on their behalf and discussing with Him their needs and the things that they can be helped with. So we'd like you to think about this. What can you do to help support the missionaries? Some of the current things that have happened, this slide is actually a little dated because when we were coming back, we came back just before they had a believers' conference over there. And they had a huge turnout, and it was very successful. Actually, their tribe hosted a conference where they invited people from neighboring tribes who had come to believe in Christ. And they had a big conference where they just studied the Bible together. And it was a big success. They also went through a lot of sickness right around the same time. They had their truck got crashed by somebody on a hit and run. And just all kinds of things constantly needed over there. So praying for those things is a good thing. And we find out about those needs by communicating with them, by being in touch with them. And then other things you can do, find a missionary that you support and start writing them. And short-term trips are good, like we did, if you can. But the other things up above are probably more important. And then I have on there the Qumran Bible. That's the tribe they're in. The Bible, they're going to have it done in 2 years, they think. And there's going to be a huge celebration, and they want to, they'll need money to print those Bibles for the people. So that's something that you can be thinking about, maybe helping them raise support for. I'll just go real quickly here. Some short-term trips. Melissa and the children went over and helped build this house for missionaries to live in at the base. This time while we were over there, she took a lot of supplies from the ladies to do a spa night for the missionaries, ladies who were in the area, and they really appreciated that kind of support. They needed a washer replaced, so we helped with that when we were over there. And we took them on a much-needed vacation. This time they said, we don't have a building project. We don't want you to come and build on our house. We just need a break. So we went with them to a resort down by the coast, and that was pretty fun. And did some snorkeling and got to meet some of the local people. So this is the last thing I have for you. If you are able, you might want to consider full-time missions. This is Jesus' final words to us as he was leaving the earth. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, he is with us always to the end of the age. So, thank you, and I'll be around afterwards if you have any questions about our trip. So.